Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome, thank you for taking the time to come and join with me. And in today's video, we are going to continue on our series, the Sermon on the Mount. We're looking at, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through to 15. And in particular, in the middle there, we have probably what is known as the most famous, the most well-known section of Scripture in the entire Bible. Verses 9 through 13, we call it the Lord's Prayer. And as we come into this, I find a couple of things interesting, fascinating if you would. And that is, while many of us, most of us probably know the Lord's Prayer, I knew it even before I was a Christian. There was just this thing from my sort of cultural heritage, which it was in there. But I find curious that we have both an introduction, a prelude, so to speak, from our Lord, and then also afterwards a recap of the most important salient points. I also find it incredibly curious that this is not the first or the only time that Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer to his disciples or to others. So there are very likely also other times, but we see in Luke 11, which if we look at a comparison by timeline, about a year and a half, maybe even 2 years after the Sermon on the Mount, the disciples come to him, or they speak to him privately after he's been praying, and they say, Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he teaches this again, the Lord's Prayer. So there truly is some value in this. It's interesting that we call it the Lord's Prayer because he gives it to us for our prayer to our Father in heaven. But let's have a quick look. I think I'll break this video into maybe two shorter videos just to give a little bit more explanation and time, because it's very important that we not just understand the words of the prayer, but the why. What's behind it? What to and what not to do? And he picks up here in verse 5, just exactly where he's left off in verse 4, the previous video for us. He says, and when you pray, when, not if, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, the Hippocrates. Remember from the previous video, they're the ones, like in Greek theatre, they have a mask and they put it on and then they put another mask on to represent the different emotions so they can be seen by those who are in different places of the audience. And the hypocrites here, the Hippocrates, are those who are wanting to be seen by men, whether they're giving alms, as we saw from the previous things, doing charitable deeds, depending on the translation you're looking at, but here also in prayer. Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues, on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Now, I do need to point out, Jesus here is not condemning public prayer. Not at all. Public prayer was a very important part of their culture in that time, and it was a part of what they did. But the difference is doing it to be seen by men or to be interceding for men towards God. There's a big difference in there. And we see here that they have, assuredly I say to you, that they have had their reward. And I did speak about that a little in the previous video. And then verse 6, he says, but you, when you pray, not if again, I say this, not if. If you're a Christian and you're not praying, I'm just going to say this straight, you're doing it wrong. We need to be in communication, in relationship with our Father, in the exact same way that a husband and wife should be in relationship. We can't expect to have a good marriage if we do not talk and communicate with our partners. We just can't. It's not going to work. And it's exactly the same with God. We need to talk to him. We need to speak our mind. Yes. We need to be honest. Yes. We need to be truthful, yes, and Scripture tells us that we can, because of the Holy Spirit, because of the work which Christ did, we can come boldly to the throne of grace in times of need. And our Lord, of course, speaks to us through his word, and other times through his people, and other times through the Holy Spirit. When we see those together, when they all line up, we know that the Lord is truly sharing and revealing things to us. And probably the best way I can explain that, as we go through Scripture, and I'm sure you've seen this before, if you've been around for any length of time, you can read through a particular section of Scripture, you come back to it, you get some understanding, and when you come back to it, you know, 5 years, 2 years, whatever years later, you read through again, and new understanding is revealed to you. And that happens, of course, because of your maturity in Christ, but also teaching that you may have heard, and the Holy Spirit, you are able to hear more, and your depth of wisdom granted by God given to you. And so this is why Jesus says, but when you pray, not if, you go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And here he is talking about our internal motivation, in here, in our hearts, in our minds, that secret place that no one else other than God can see. No one, not your husband, not your wife, not your mother, not your father, for the young people listening. That secret place is right there between you and the Lord. And he also says, when you pray, verse 7, again, when, not if, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their great many words. Now, there's a lot that I can say about this, and I've got a few points I'd like to bring extra scripture as well. So we'll have a look at those, and then a comment for now, for present day time. My first thought when I remembered this, and you can just make a note and perhaps come to it later. In Acts chapter 19, Paul is in Ephesus, and Paul being Paul, preaching the word faithfully, and people being people, as did happen in this time, well, a riot. Yep, things went awry, and they disagreed completely with the teaching. But the history of this particular situation, it's fascinating, and it represents what the heathen do, unknowing and having no knowledge of God whatsoever. In this particular case, Paul preaching Christ has started to cause both a spiritual and an economic riot. And what's happening is the makers, the crafters of the silver idols in Ephesus for the Temple of Diana, well, they're losing business. So, of course, they start speaking against Paul. And they say in verse 19, chapter 19, you can read through the story. And they're just angry and they're crying out, you know, great is Diana of Ephesus. And this continues and this goes on, and in verse 33 I pick it up. It says they drew Alexander out of the multitude, and the Jews in the town put him forward to I guess be a scapegoat. Now it doesn't say who Alexander was. It really is irrelevant. I think they're just going to throw him out there. He may have been for Paul, he may have been against Paul, it doesn't matter, it doesn't say. But it does say in verse 34 that when they found out that he, Alexander, was a Jew, of course Paul also, with one voice, they cried out for 2 hours, great is Diana of Ephesus, great is Diana of the Ephesians, great is Diana of the Ephesians, again and again and again, for 2 hours, it says. And they went on and they went on and they repeated and they repeated, and as if to do such was going to make a difference to the situation, as if to do such was going to be heard by this crafted silver idol, this dead god, this false god. And that's one example. I also find some in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Again, if you want to jot them down, there's some good, solid advice here. And it's not directly related, but good advice. Walk prudently when you go into the house of God. So we're talking about going into that place of worship, into that place of prayer. Do not be rash with your mouth. Do not let your heart utter anything hastily before God. Therefore, let your words be few. A fool's voice is known by his many words. And this made me think, and I'm sure you've seen this in the modern church. I'm sure you've seen this. Some people, when they pray, they go to the front and they pray, and you know, and then they pray in a loud voice and they pray for all to see. I knew one young fellow who would go to the front, and every time he had opportunity to pray for the church, all of a sudden he starts speaking Shakespearean. Old King James. He didn't talk like that in his normal language, but he did this because it was impressive and as if he would be heard more by God by speaking in this manner. No, wrong. That's exactly what the Lord is talking about, to be seen by men. And we need to understand that the repetition thing, which Jesus also spoke about, to be careful. Again, it's not about the words. I'm looking now in Psalm 136, a beautiful psalm. And we see here a lot of repetition. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. And it continues in such manner again and again and again. And if we say it, and if we speak it without any thought in our heart about his mercy enduring forever, it's meaningless. But that is a beautiful example of a wonderful, beautiful prayer where we can, it was a song, a psalm. And we know from our other songs that if we meditate on such things, if we truly get them into our hearts, that there is a huge difference. And I say this because this is exactly what Jesus is teaching in this entire Sermon on the Mount. Not what we do, what we say, but what we think, what we feel, the intention of our heart. That is the key issue. And so I look at things like, the rosary prayers that they have within the Catholicism. You know, 53 times, I think it is, again and again and again, and they repeat these things, and they say it's for discipline of the mind, that we should be disciplined towards prayer. Folks, there is nothing that you can do to discipline yourself that will bring joy to God if your heart is in the wrong place. Nothing at all. The same for Muslim when they have their daily prayers again and again, and they stand and they sit and they bow, and they stand and they sit and they bow because of this discipline that it brings to the body and to the man. It's meaningless, folks. It really is meaningless. Not only praying to a dead God, the Temple of Diana, the Temple of Diana. Jeremiah called the same thing out when people were going to the temple of the Lord, and they're saying the temple of the Lord. It's just the same as if one of us is, yes, I go to church. Yes, I go to church. Look at how good I am. No, it's all about that relationship which we have with Christ. And so when you pray, do not pray with repetitions as the heathens do, as heartless. They think they'll be heard by their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. This is curious. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So, why pray? If he knows beforehand, why pray? Honest question. Well, that's where we step into something called faith. We pray because we must communicate, and we are told to, not if, but when you pray. And that's why I highlight that point. We are told that we must. Praying with God, if our heart attitude is in the right place when we pray to God, our Father, we find ourselves humbled, I hope, with the right heart attitude. We find ourselves humbled before our holy God. More honest, not just with him, perhaps also with ourselves, but it's about that relationship. The man and the wife cannot have relationship without communication, even though he knows of those things you have need before you ask. Yet we ask in what? Faith. Now, I'm going to be doing a video on faith fairly shortly for our upcoming men's group, but let me just make this statement. There is more to faith than just praying and asking for something from our Lord with faith, for faith that we would receive what we have asked for. Faith, true, genuine faith, is also accepting that which is given and received from God. So we pray in faith, yes, but we must also have faith that his answer to us is the right one for us. Understanding that. And then as we come over the page, it is in my Bible, in this manner, verse 9, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. To you be all the glory. To you be all the honor. And I think what I'll do is I'll pause here on that video, and we'll come back in the next video, and we're going to have a closer look at this, our Father in heaven. Yes, and I understand. For some people, that's a roadblock, because the relationship with their father here on earth, not so good. And it can be a roadblock, a barrier towards that clear, in-depth, personal, humble communion with God. But I want to show you how we can talk to our Lord, our Father in heaven, in the next upcoming video. So please make a bookmark to come back to watch that one so that we can have a look at that one also, most likely next week. All right, God bless. Praying for you always. Talk soon. Bye-bye.